Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
Oh, and I'm Scott Carelli. And you can find me at so many podcasts at duelinggenre.com.
Awesome. And thank you, Scott, for joining us for this week of Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's been an adventure just doing DC Cinematic Minute. You've been with us since we did Man of Steel. I think it was our seventh week.
Very beginning.
Yeah. Just our seventh week of Man of Steel. We just started having guests on the show that were complete strangers to us. And I asked you to be on Man of Steel and you said yes. And ever since, it's just been great talking to you just about anything, you know, so having met you just in general through this podcast, it's been great. And then you joined us for Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, and just been, you know, I just like supporting all the stuff you create because it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of cool stuff. And I like your opinions on DC stuff, you know.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad that we're still friends after how mean I was to Man of Steel.
That's the thing, you know, when we created this podcast, because obviously we're not going to do another minute by minute thing after we wrap up this one, but Nate and I like it, we go with it, we find what we love to talk about in them, and you know, and if we don't like something, we'll say it. But we just kind of move on. And I think that's always been the kind of hard thing about it, is that I think a lot of people just, if they disagree, then they, you know, they cut out, right? And it's I like hearing people say they don't like stuff, and then like, let's talk it out. It's like, let's hear about it. Let's hear different opinions. So we've always just been really kind of groovy with this show. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of joy. It's always a lot of fun to hear people, especially we've had some people who really don't like these movies and then they kind of lay into it, and we've had fun with that too. So it's always been a lot of fun. I wanted to talk again just a little bit about Geek by Night one more time before we wrap up for the week. But
I bet I know who about.
Yeah, I had two characters, right? And I think we might actually hear that person's voice later in this podcast somewhere. To talk about today's minute 210, part six, Something Darker, Cyborg. He's walking towards his family, and then we kind of see a shift from the way he looks when he was a college student and to where he is now, the way he looks. And then the minute's going to end with Cyborg and Superman attempting to separate the mother boxes physically now. And so in this minute, Cyborg really confronts his fear. But yes, Scott, in Geek by Night, you have another character. Whereas Gretchen is to Barry Allen, you have a Victor Conrad to Cyborg. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how it is you construct someone who is like almost a technological god, as far as balancing them out in a superhero story.
I mean, you know, the thing that we did with Victor, who is always Victor and not Vic, but he's definitely, his name is definitely pulled from Cyborg. That's definitely where it comes from. I mean, you know, the thing with him was just that, like, we wanted to created a character that was, you know, about someone who wants to do the right thing by any means necessary, and what that means and what that looks like and what it looks like when you do the right thing and you feel like you could have done more, and the guilt of that while everyone is, you know, telling you you're a hero. You're like, but I could have done more. It wasn't enough. Like, I wasn't perfect. And so, you know, he wants to become a superhero, and he goes through the origin process, which is like a scientific procedure, messes it up because he is not a scientist, and basically like OPs himself, and becomes this this like cyber god essentially. And what we wanted to like, what I really wanted to deal with Victor was just like the morality of that. Like, so you get these godlike powers, well, be very easy to just become a god and do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Victor is that his moral compass is strong enough to overcome that feeling. And so while he can do anything, he doesn't do anything. And I think it's a really interesting thing about his character. And, you know, that one mistake, he sacrificed having a body, essentially, because he's just sort of this like cybernetic being that floats around through electronics and the internet. And yeah, he's like a ghost. He's literally a ghost in the machine. Like that's the thing.
Yeah. You said it, not me.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. And, you know, the short version of that is like, what if Captain America became a cyber god? What would that look like? Mm-hmm. You know, it's yeah. And so like you're always dealing with stuff with Victor. And I just think that he's an interesting character. He was sort of our, you know, other than like our you know main villain who was introduced in the first episode, like I mean he was kind of like our first like big villain kind of character in our second story, and I just really love the journey that we've taken him on, and it's all been about like how do I keep myself moral while also having the ability to literally do anything, and. We're always trying to find new challenges for him and things for him to overcome. And there's plenty more toward the end of the show. I just think he's a great character. And I think the actor who plays him, Jay Malone, is just like he's just embodies that character and everything that he stands for. And he's definitely one of my favorites. I mean, they're all my babies, so I can't. Pick a
yeah,
favorite.
Yeah,
but I love Victor. I think there's definitely a lot of meat on that bone. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun to pick at over the years.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely my favorite character on Geek by Night. I just like even if it's not dealing with his moral compass, it just sometimes his interactions, obviously. I think if I remember correctly, he did kind of live like a very minimal lifestyle because he was kind of going through that trauma from his military career. But then when he becomes kind of the ghost in the shell, he then is like, oh, I miss food. And right. Can you describe food for me? Right. And, you know, stuff like that. And it's kind of sad, but at the same time, it's funny. It's entertaining. Yeah. But yeah, definitely a slippery slope in terms of philosophy for the character. Because, yeah, it's not, like you said, the moral compass can go either way. I mean, either his discipline is strong enough that he doesn't go crazy with power. But at the same time, if he hears something wrong, then he like sticks to like, no, I can't lie. I can't omit. Like, I have to like, double down on what's right, and then that even that as a character is great when you have all these other protagonists in your story, because you have such an ensemble cast that it's like some of them are like I don't think that is the right thing to do, and he's like no, this doing this is all that matters, right, and kind of thing. And so he's always been such an interesting character, just having fun with all the technological stuff you can do. So definitely one of the characters I really like on that show.
He got trapped in heaven once. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yep. Yeah. You can do all kinds of stuff with him. It's great.
Yeah. So, you know, from me to the listeners, it's as we wrap up DC Cinematic Minute, Geek by Night is just a show about, you know, these people becoming superheroes, and it's cool. It's relatable. And then in this final season that you guys are in, it is just wacky, wacky stuff that I'm like, I don't know. It seems so coordinated, everything that was leading up to it. And then it just shotgun blasts into all the weirdness that you've done with, you know, some of these characters that you've introduced later on. And I think ever since you guys did a Halloween special, it's just been like, again, this Pandora's box of just like, oh, all this wacky stuff can now happen because of what you've created. So, kudos to you and your team. Yeah. I really recommend it to people who like superhero stuff. So, we'll cut back to our Victor Stone here, on DC, Justice League. And, you know, he's gone through this, he looks like himself before the accident. And then as the camera pans over, you will then see him kind of shown as he is now, this robotic body. And this is the mother box is kind of showing him like, look at you. You don't want to look like this anymore. You want to look like this cyborg with this button down shirt and his two parents, both of them alive.
That's so interesting because that's not how I take that at all. So this is my favorite minute of the week.
Okay.
By a lot. This is one of my favorite, this is my Flash enters the Speed Force is this minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, I take that moment as Victor rejecting them and being like, no, this is who I am. This is what I look like. It's not the Fates showing him that, it's him showing the Fates. This isn't going to work because I've already accepted who I am and this is who I am.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And, the line that he says of like, I'm not broken. And I'm not alone is like, that's DC to me because it's all heart.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's all heart. And that's the most DC Comics thing he could have possibly have said. And it's one of the most DC Comics things in this movie, I would say.
I think it's like the best, one of the best, if not the best, superhero messages to ever exist. And the fact that Cyborg was the one to utter that, and it's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, yes, you get it. That's like in the main focus right now. Other people will understand this. I got it a little bit because I did read a little bit of Teen Titans when I was a kid. So, you know, figuring out differences and everything like that. But yeah, I think it's like the best superhero moment out of this entire movie. Mm-hmm. And possibly out of Man of Steel, Dawn of Justice and Justice League. I think it's like the most hopeful message that you could possibly give to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like very nailed in. Like, this is it. This is what, this is the point of the story.
This is the whole point of the story.
Yeah.
I know it's been 4 hours and there's a lot of other people in this, but like, you remember Cyborg's the dude. Cyborg's the guy that we're dealing with now. So like, give him the whole revelation. Yeah. It's cool. Your God came back to life, but like, that's big deal. He's just punching a guy right now. You need to like overcome everything that all the challenges that you've been having for the past 4 hours of this movie.
But it's also it's a representative of every single member of the Justice League in this
yes
movie. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's speaking for all of them. Like, they all thought they were broken at the beginning of this movie.
Yes.
Batman thought he was broken in the last movie. I think he feels a little differently at the start of this movie. He's got other issues, namely putting the Justice League together, which is a whole process that took 4 hours to do. But everyone else, I mean, Clark certainly sees himself as broken and alone. Like, no one can be like me. And the one time I met somebody who was, he was an asshole. So like, Clark certainly feels that way. And you know, Batman has felt that way like his entire life. The Flash certainly feels that way. Barry feels that way. I guess Diana doesn't so much. Diana's got her shit together for the most part. But she's also felt very alone since World War I. So, you know, she definitely, I don't know that she feels broken, but she definitely has felt alone. up to this point. So it's just this like perfect sort of like thematic moment for the whole movie. I love that. I just think that's awesome. It's really, really good. And just feels so much more heartfelt than most of Dawn of Justice, a movie I love, but Dawn of Justice is a much more clinical film, tonally than this one is. And it seems that like that was the moment, like Victor saying that is the moment that Snyder's been building toward since, opening credits of Man of Steel, you know, like that's the arc, of these three movies, is like finding the heart of these gods, which is that they all think they're broken, but they're not. And they have each other. And that's it. And that's the sort of crazy thing about like his whole vision of like them being gods is like, it's interesting because I think in Dawn of Justice, you're like looking at that movie and it's like everyone's looking at Superman as a god. And I wish that Superman, I wish there were more scenes of Clark being like, okay, but I'm not though. Like, relax, everybody. You know, like he doesn't get to talk enough in that, in the movie. He doesn't get to do enough. I wish he got more chances to just be human in that movie. Rather than like proving his humanity at the end with the whole dark side fight and the sacrifice and all of that, which is all good, but I just wish there was a little bit more of like Clark being Clark, in that movie, and really like turning his nose up on the whole like God thing, everyone seeing him as a God. But that's always been the arc, right? Is that Snyder's vision is like they're gods in so much as like that's what normal people would see them as. And so that's how I'm going to depict them. But then over the course of these three movies, we're going to get to a point where we are in this line, which is, that we're just broken people. And now we're not anymore. We're not broken. We're just we're friends. We're super friends.
There you go.
No, that's the other cut. But yeah, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. It's cool that we have his whole vision now so that you can look at the whole arc of the three movies, as telling that story, which is, putting the humanity back into gods.
Yes.
I don't know. It's kind of cool. And it's very DC. And I love this moment so much.
Yes. This is like my favorite part of the movie. Like, going through Cyborg. Cyborg is a character I really like. I've always kind of loved this. And I've been wanting this ever since I saw the 2017 version. I thought this is the road we were going on. And so, finally seeing this version of the movie was just, this isn't in the 2017 version. There's nothing about this in the other version of the movie.
Doesn't he just shoot a guy and say booyah and that's it? That's his big hero moment in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets his leg ripped off by Steppenwolf.
Right.
And then I think both him and Superman are like, I'm in a lot of pain. I think I'd rather be dead again. And it's like, I don't know. That's the right thing to say in this moment.
That wasn't the whole point. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're Superman.
Exactly. So, but yes, this being in the movie, seeing this, it just was like confirmation of just all the heart and all the talk about what this movie was. And so when I was like, I want to see this version of this movie, because I think there's good in this. And I think there's good in this DC cinematic universe, as we've been talking about, like there's something to love about these movies. And so even though they're not perfect or masterpieces, there's still something about them that I absolutely love. And it's here. And, again, because Cyborg is in Doom Patrol, it was again a tangent to Doom Patrol that I felt the same way. I feel the same way when I read Doom Patrol, and it's crazy and wacky, and every creative team that's gotten involved with Doom Patrol, but what I loved so much about the TV show itself is how it took it and made it its own as well. And it still kind of carried that same thing of like, we feel broken, we feel alone, but the reality is that we're not, because we have each other. And that's what they were planning here with these films and these Justice League movies. Had it continued, Queen Hippolyta in this movie, she talked about the Age of Heroes, how the humans, the Atlanteans, the Amazons, they all united. And so this, what was the Age of Heroes, it doesn't exist anymore, but it can again in this Justice League. And so the idea was then by the
third Age of Heroes.
Yeah,
sorry.
But yeah, New Age of Heroes. And by the third film, the third Justice League film, this Justice League would be just like unlimited size. It would be like everyone is here because the entire planet needs to come together. And it would totally cure what was in Dawn of Justice of like, everyone hates everyone. Everyone's tribal. Lex Luthor was right. People hate each other. And we have to prove him wrong. We have to prove that we can be stronger together. And so this whole right. unification, it's here. It's here in these words. And it's so, yeah, you're right. It's like we were on track for it. But let's, yeah. So
it's really good. I just can't shake it. Because I've seen this movie so many times, not Justice League, the movie I'm about to reference. But this moment in particular too, just the way that it's staged and the timing of everything, also reminds me very much of The World's End when Gary King confronts his younger self and then rips its head off. That's literally like this, where it's like, where he's literally like the you know, they're like teasing him, the aliens are teasing him with like the idea, the temptation of like being young again, which is what you've always wanted. And he, you know, twists his head off and is like, there's only one Gary King. And that's what this reminds me of. It complete with like the lights in the eyes and the mouth, just like the blanks and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, there's like a lot of visuals happening in common with The World's End right now.
If it works, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. yeah.
Further proof that At World's End is a masterpiece.
The World's End. At World's End is Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm so sorry. Oh my
it's okay.
God, at World's
Everyone
End.
Does that. Everyone does that.
That's what the Calypso, right?
Yeah, I have tattooed on my back.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
But yes, The World's End is a masterpiece. That is true.
Yeah, The World's End. I don't think At World's End is a masterpiece. Just for clarification.
It's solid.
All the Pirates hardcore fans are going to be coming at you. I want to say that this minute has one of my absolute favorite parts out of this whole movie in it, and it's when Cyborg calls out to Superman. To me, that's like one of the most perfect things that could have happened. It was Cyborg calling for Superman to come help him, or at least, you know, work together. Like, this is your cue. I need you. And that kind of like blows my mind, because it's not so much as like Superman save me. It's more like Superman, I need you to do Superman. Like, I need strength. I need a hand.
Yeah, I just need you to be, you know, the strong man. I just need the strong man thing. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
And that's like one of my absolute favorite things. Especially even the tone in Ray's voice when he says it, I can feel and hear that there is like.
Strain
that he's acting, you know. I don't know, it's just, it feels good. And then going back to the whole idea that I've been through, that Mark and I have been through, of being this movie, Cyborg is the Superman, but then him having to call out to, you know, the previous Superman, it's like that's a fun thing. That's like when Kirk showed up in or what was that movie?
Star Trek Generations.
I was about to say. Nemesis. It was kind of like that whole like Generations feeling of like passing the baton, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was more so of like, he's your hero. He's everybody's hero. Like, he's Superman. And then if I am able to ask him for help and he shows up, oh, that's like the best day of the dang life for me.
Yeah. There's also, I love that moment too. And I also love it because there's something about the way that Henry Cavill plays the moment that is so like quintessentially Superman, not in the sort of like aggro way that he was in Dawn of Justice, the way that they had him be in that movie. It was just like he calls out to Superman and Clark does this like, he does like a little run before mm-hmm. the super speed run, you know?
Yes.
But he just like, he has to like run around like a chair. I don't know what's in his way, but like he runs a few steps like a human and then zoom and then zips over there. And it's just like, yeah, like Superman's kind of a dork. Like I like how just like that 5% of like dork quality is there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what makes Superman. He has to be like 5% a dork all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's the best. It's the best.
And, it really is.
Yeah, I just like seeing superheroes try real hard. You know,
yeah. Like it's not supposed to be easy for you,
right?
Like
right.
Everything. It's like you're supposed to be the better version of all of us, and actually accomplishing the thing. You know,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
That's something that I'm supposed to learn from you. Come on,
yeah.
It was one of my notes as well, just his little running start that he does. And yes. Because most of the time lately with Zack Snyder and his action for Superman, it's very much like, boom, I'm there. Almost like Omni-Man, where I'm just like, uh-huh. I'm going to show up and I'm going to kick your ass now.
Because he's playing up everyone's fear. He wants the audience to understand why people would be afraid of Superman.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So, but just having a little shot of Henry Cavill do a little running start and then boom, he's there at the mother box. It's like, it's perfect. Cause then we get to see some human quality of Superman. And yeah, it just one of my notes as well. And one of my other notes was going to be that, we see this family here for, Silas and Eleanor Stone, but as they turn into, these kind of mother box demons, that the portal opening behind him is almost like his real family, right? Because then the silhouettes of Aquaman and Wonder Woman start to show up, and it's like, oh yeah, come home. Like the real family is behind them. Like get through to them.
Yeah, it's just funny because now it for like a split second, you know, the Justice League were just like stuck between two like portals, is what it seemed like. And I just thought that was funny. But they're like, what's going on? Which way do I go?
Now we're thinking with portals.
Yeah. Oh man, really good minute. This is like I feel like. This is the moment that should have won the Oscar.
It should have.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
There's so many people who saw this movie, and whether or not you thought it was game-changing, like, just, you know, whatever your thoughts are on finally seeing this version of the movie, I think everyone collectively agrees, like, what is this? Like, where was this? What is this? Like, this whole cyborg arc that's missing in the other version, this is stuff that people all universally tend to agree. Like, it's just a very beautiful story for a character who's being introduced to the world of Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman. And now here you are, whether you like it or not, you're now a superhero as well in their world. And to kind of go through this with them, it's like, oh, this, I just like that synopsis for a story. It's just like, yep, now you're part of them. You're going to, get through, and he's like, I don't want to be a superhero. And it's like, well, too bad. And it's like going through that. It's the loss of his father that he's kind of upset about, and then there's a sacrifice from his father, and then him just feeling like, man, I was just too harsh on him, and I, you know, I could have saved him, and I didn't. I was just being really hard on himself. We talked about how that parallels a lot with Superman in Man of Steel, and everything, and yeah, like everything you said, Scott, just. All these other Justice League members, they went through that too. They felt broken. They felt alone at some point. And then he has to follow in their footsteps to become kind of like among the pantheon.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I do want to say, Nathan, I finally watched Justice is Gray for a long time.
Oh my gosh, you did.
Yeah. And when I say I watched it, I mean, I watched it like a couple days ago.
How did you do it? Did you sit down, and or was it on and you were
I was folding laundry, I was vacuuming, but of course I'm always like half vacuuming and more so watching it. But you know, by the time I got done, because it's a 4-hour movie, I got done with the chores. So there was still plenty of movie left to watch. But then I was watching it. And I prefer just watching in color. Still, I don't think it's not like Godzilla Minus One Minus Color, where it's like, oh, it looks like an old film because they wanted it to. So yeah, this is awesome. And you should totally watch it in black and white. But this is just like the only thing I could say that I think is cool about it is that you don't know that Superman is wearing a black suit. It's just in black and white already. So it's like he could be wearing blue and red. And I thought that was neat, but I was just thinking about it because he's, you know, it's in the black suit, and I'm of the camp where it's like
that's neat, but half of a comic book is its color.
Yeah. That's like literally my thought. I'm just like, well, yeah, but I mean, because
it's a whole person's job.
Yeah, but then there's people
paid a lot of money for that.
A black and white version of a cover art is like, you know, $90, right?
Go figure.
Yeah, people want the black and white uncolored version. It's like, okay, but no, I want color. All this stuff is cool to me. I like seeing color, and I think these movies have a lot of color, and I think it's great. But yeah, that was the only thing where I was watching this black and white version, and when he gets the suit, I'm like, could be blue, you know. So I thought that was neat. But I am of the camp. It's one of my things in this movie where I get the black suit. But I'm still of the camp of like, just keep it blue. I thought it was nice.
I just don't like that he ends the movie in the black suit. Like, I thought it would have been like a move for him to like pop open his shirt and then it's like he's back in the blue again. And you're like, yeah, because he's Superman, you know. Mm-hmm. But him still being in the black suit at the end when he's doing the Clark Kent Superman pull the shirt open move. That bothers me. I don't know. It just, I feel like I'm like, well, what's the, why? Why is he still in that suit? I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things. When we talk about all the things if I could just, you know, get in the editing room and just do a little tweaks, go back in time and change a few things, it'd be like, I get it. You want the black part, the black suit, but like, it's fine. Just keep
it. You got it already. You had it where you needed it. Now you don't need it anymore. Let it go.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that wraps it for today. Unless you guys have anything else.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. It's been a journey.
Yeah. Absolute pleasure. Of course. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Tune in to me talking a lot about Superman this November on Franchiseography.
Yes.
When we cover the entire Superman franchise.
I absolutely will.
Thanks.
Including Brandon Routh, including Henry Cavill. So it'll be including Man of Steel, Dawn of Justice, and Zack Snyder's Justice League. And you're doing both versions? Are you going to talk?
Yeah,
I guess.
We're just going to, like, in the same episode. Like, we're just going to talk about it. And I'm not going to cheat. I'm literally going to watch one and then the other one. Like, I'm really going to do it. Yeah. Also, we're going to be covering all of the unmade Superman screenplay.
Flyby, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Superman Lives. All of that stuff. Justice League Mortal, the George Miller version.
Yeah.
We're going to cover all of that stuff on the Patreon as well. So lots of Superman content over on Franchiseography. So, check that out and maybe listen to Geek by Night. Give it a shot, please.
Please do. All right. We're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.